ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. பிரம்மசூத்ராஸ் பாதா 3 வியத் அதிகரணம் ந வியத ஸ்ருதேஹ அஸ்தி து கௌண்ய சம்பவாத் சப்தாச்ச ஸ்யாச்சைகஸ்ய ப்ரஹ்ம சப்தவத் ப்ரதிஜ்ஞா அஹானிஹி அவ்யதிரேகாத் சப்தேப்யஹ யாவத் விகாரம் து விகாரோ லோகவத். மாதரிஷ்வாதிகரணம் ஏதேன மாதரிஷ்வா வியாக்யாதஹ. அசம்பவாதிகரணம் அசம்பவஸ்து சதஹ அனுபபத்தேஹ. தேஜோதிகரணம் தேஜோதஹ ததாஹ்யாஹ. அபதிகரணம் ஆபஹ. பிருத்திவ்யதிகரணம் பிருத்திவீம் அதிகார ரூப சப்தாந்தரேப்யஹ. தத் அபித்யானாதிகரணம் தத் அபித்யானாதேவது தல்லிங்காத் சஹாம். விபர்யயாதிகரணம் விபர்யயேணது க்ரமஹ அதஹ உபபத்யதேச. அந்தரா விஜயானாதிகரணம் அந்தரா விஜயான மனசி க்ரமேண தல்லிங்காதிதி சேத் நாவிசேஷாத். சராச்சர விபாஸ்ரயாதிகரணம் சராச்சர விபாஸ்ரயஸ்து ஸ்யாத் தத்வபதேஷஹ பாக்த தத்பாவ பாவித்வாத். ஆத்மாதிகரணம் நாத்மஸ்ருதேஹ நித்யத்வாத் ச தாப்யஹ. ஞாதிகரணம் ஞோத ஏவ. உத்க்ராந்திகத்யதிகரணம் உத்க்ராந்திகத்யாகதீனாம் ஸ்வாத்மனாச்சோத்தரயோஹ ந அணுஹ அதஸ்ருதேஹ இதி சேத் ந இதராதிகாராத். ஸ்வசப்தோன்மானாப்யாஞ்ச அவிரோதச்சந்தனவத். அவஸ்திதி வைசேஷாதிதி சேத் ந அத்யுபகமாத் திருதிஹி. குணாத்வாலோகவத் வெதிரேகோ கந்தவத் ததாச்ச தர்ஷயதி பிருதக் உபதேசாத். தத்குணசாரத்வாத்து தத்யபதேசஹ ப்ராஜ்ஞவத். யாவத் ஆத்மபாவித்வாச்ச ந தோஷஹ தத்தர்ஷனாத். பும்ஸ்த்வாதிவத் த்வஸ்ய சதஹ அபிவ்யக்தி யோகாத். நித்ய உபலப்தி அனுபலப்தி பிரசங்கஹ அந்யதரணியமோ வா அந்யதாம். கர்த்தாதிகரணம் கர்த்தா சாஸ்திரார்த்தவத்வாத் விகாரோபதேசாத் உபாதானாத். யபத்ஷாச்ச க்ரியாயான்னசேத் நிர்தேஷ விபர்யயஹ. உபலப்திவத் அநியமஹ சக்தி விபர்யயாத். சமாத்யபாவாச்ச தக்ஷாதிகரணம் யதாச்ச தக்ஷோபயதா. பராயத்தாதிகரணம் பராத்து தத்ஸ்ருதேஹ கிருத பிரயத்னாபேக்ஷஸ்து விஹித பிரதிஷித்தா வையர்த்தாதிப்யஹ. அம்சாதிகரணம் அம்சோ நானா விபதேஷாத் அந்யதா சாபீம் தாஷகிதவாதித்வம் அதீயத ஏகே. மந்திரவர்ணாச்ச அபிச்ச ஸ்மர்யதே பிரகாஷிவத் 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 ந ஏவம் பரஹ ஸ்மரந்தி ச. அனுஜ்ஞா பரிஹாரௌ தேகசம்பந்தாத் ஜோதிராதிவத். அசந்ததேஸ்ச அவ்யதிகரஹ ஆபாச ஏவ ச. அத்ருஷ்டானியமாத். திஸ் இஸ் தி 51st சூத்ரா இன் தி 3rd பாதா 2nd சாப்டர் 267th ரன்னிங் பிரம்மசூத்ரா. And in this adhikaranam, from Sutra 43 to 50, Vyasacharya established the nature of Jivatma and also karma phala bhoga vyavastha. Namely, how the Jiva becomes karta, bhokta, and the scheme of action and the results, they were all established. So from Paramarthika Drishti, there is only one Atma. Even though Atma is one, at Vyavaharika level or empirical level, one Atma has got several reflections called Chidabhasas. I am just only recouping what we did yesterday. And these Chidabhasas are many in number and they are only finite and pervade only the body, and they are all non-extensive pluralistic ones. So it is this Chidabhasa which becomes a Karta and a Bhokta also. And since each Chidabhasa has a distinct individuality, all the karma phalam will go only to the respective Chidabhasas. There will not be the problem of Vyatikaraha, that is mixing up, that will not be there at all. And the individuality of Chidabhasa, that will be determined by its manifesting medium consisting of the Sthula, Sukshma, Sharira Dvaya. And this is otherwise called Upadhi, medium. Thus, determined by the Sharira Dvayam, Chidabhasa will have its individuality plus Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam, Pramatrutvam, all those. So all the karma pala bhoga vyavastha, that is very well settled in this approach. And while a person is in karma kanda, we will emphasize the Chidabhasa aspect of jiva only. Whereas when one comes to jnanakanda, emphasis is shifted from Chidabhasa aspect to the chit aspect, which is inherent in the Chidabhasa, in the jiva. So Chidabhasa pradana jiva is karta, chit pradana jiva is akarta. Kurvan is Chidabhasa pradana jiva drishtya. From the Chidabhasa pradana angle of jiva, he is Kurvan, he does karyam, all his karta and all. Na karoti is chit pradana. Kurvan na bhi na karayani, Krishna said all those things. So the vachyartha drishtya karta and lakshyartha drishtya is akarta. By Vedantic approach, where jivatma paramatma aikyam is vindicated, and jivatma's kartrutvam, plurality, travel, they are all indicated by karmakanda. So karmakanda jiva is also explained properly. Jnanakanda jiva also is explained properly. This Vyasacharya established, and the Chidabhasa was named as Amshaha. So the entire Amshadikaranam talked about this particular aspect. That is the only point to be noted. And that Chidabhasa is Amsa, and Amsha is Chidabhasa, we come to know by tallying Sutra 43 and Sutra 50. When we discuss the Sutra 43, we at that time mentioned the answer to that comes from Sutra 50 and briefly mentioned then, and we saw this in the last class. So Sutra 40 has the word Amsha and Sutra 50 has got the word Abhasa. So with that sutra, our Siddhanta has been established. And in the next three sutras, Vyasacharya refutes the Sankhya Nyaya theory of Jivatma. All this we saw yesterday. I am only rebriefing them. By corollary, he dismisses Sankhya also here. And the primary problem with the Nyaya philosopher is what? He accepts many all-pervading Atmas. Many all-pervading Atmas. Therefore, he has problems that Atma enters into contact with mind and mind to Indriyas, and through the serial contact, Sukham and Dukham, they all arise. Sukha Dukkhas. And Vyasacharya's question is, this Sukha Dukkha will go to Atma according to you. You means what? Nyaya philosopher. Then he asks the question, to which Atma it will go? Because under the mind, all Atmas are there according to your theory. And to solve this problem, he said, the Nyaya philosopher said, whichever Atma has Punya Papam, that Atma will get Sukha and Dukkha. And for that, Vyasacharya asked the question, how the Punya Papam themselves they come? And for that, Nyaya philosopher said, he has come to a very serial contact then. Again, Vyasacharya's serial contact and all we saw yesterday. And again, Vyasacharya's question was, this Punya Papam has to rest on Atma. And then to which Atma it will go? To which Atma it will go and rest? That is the question from Vyasacharya. And their reply was, whichever Atma has got the Ichcha, the desire for punyam, sukha and dukkha will go to them. So Vyasacharya raises the same question again as to how the desires they arise. If the desires are rising independently, then the serial, this thing cannot be brought in. Serial transaction cannot be brought in if the desires have to arise independently. So to which Atma desire will go? Therefore, sukham and dukkham, and therefore punyam, papam, all those can never belong to any particular Atma. Raga dvesha cannot belong to any particular Atma. And finally, Nyaya Vaisheshika philosopher, he tried to give a very peculiar, particular solution. And what was that? My Atma has an enclosed portion within my body. And your Atma has an enclosed portion in your body. And the enclosed portion of Atma will receive the sukha and dukkha generated by the enclosure body. Father Vyasacharya gives the answer. When you say enclosed portion of my Atma, that is itself a problem. And within my body, there is not an enclosed portion of my Atma alone, and all my Atma is your Atma as well. In every body, Atma is there. And you cannot say a particular Atma belongs to a particular body. Atma, because all Atmas are all pervading according to him. Atma occupies body and every Atma is all pervading according to you. So every body has got Atma enclosed in it. So this is the essence of these three sutras. And in this portion, we have not questioned the theory itself. We have assumed the theory is correct. And then we point out, even if the theory is correct, the punyam and papam generated will have problem to choose which Atma they should go and attach to. So Vedantin's question elsewhere as to how can the Atma combine with the mind also in some other place. And then comes the final question as how can there be many all-pervading Atmas? Fundamental question. So these questions, we do not raise them here. Now let us, we'll discuss in some other context. Now let us go to the 51st Sutra where Vyasacharya refutes this theory. Atma will get sukha dukkha based on its punya papam. Vyasacharya refutes it depending upon its punya papam here. That is the one he is refuting. The punya papam itself, you cannot explain as to which punya papam belongs to Atma. You cannot determine that. And this is the answer here. Now let us do the word analysis of this sutra, this next sutra, Adrishta Niyamat, the sutra we just read, the preamble I gave from the last sutra to establish the connectivity with this sutra, 51st sutra, 267th running Brahma Sutra. Adrishta Niyamat, because of invalidity of the criterion of Adrishta, Punya Papa Mandal, we call that Adrishta, Karma Phala. There is mixing up of karma and phala. This we have to supply. It is not given in the sutra. So because of the invalidity of the criterion of Adrishtam, there is mixing up of karma and phalam in Nyaya Shastra. Now there is a sutra. And now we will see the significance of the words. It is a compound word, Adrishta and Niyama. Adrishta, Aniyama actually. Adrishta means punya and papam, and Niyama means this is the criterion for determining which sukha and dukkha will go to which Atma. Aniyama means the invalidity. The invalidity of that criterion is stated here. Niyama is the criterion. Aniyama is the invalidity of the criterion that is stated here in this sutra. So the punya papam itself belongs to which Atma cannot arrive at. And therefore, how can the indefinite criterion decide a definite event? That is Vyasacharya's question. Aniyama. Aniyama means niyama abhavat. So that is the crux of this sutra. Now let us go to the next sutra. Because the introduction for this sutra comes from the previous sutra. I refreshed whatever we had said yesterday to connect with this sutra. Abhisandhyadishu api chaivam. Abhisandhyadishu api chaivam. 52nd Sutra, 268th running Brahma Sutra. So this discussion that began in Sutra 50 is continued again now. So let us first do the general analysis. the idea that we have already given in the previous sutra. Punya papam going to a particular atma is determined by another criterion, that is the argument forwarded by the Purvapakshi. It is the desire of the atma, that is the criterion. Raga dvesha is the criterion. Thus he has introduced a new criterion now, which is the criterion for the old criterion. And Vyasacharya says that here also there is some problem. The raga dvesha are created, all right, but to which atma will they go is the question. And because behind the indriyam and mind, all atmas are there according to you. Therefore, you will require another criterion for determining raga dvesha. It will become then what? Anavastha dosha. Endless regress it will become. Therefore, with respect to raga dvesha also, we will have the same problem. To which atma they will go, you cannot explain. So this is the general analysis of this sutra. Now let us do the word analysis. Abhisandhyadishu. In the case of desire, etc. Adipadas, etc. Api means also. Evam means this is the same as in the case of the Nyaya Shastra. As it was said, all the things are same. As was said in the Nyaya Shastra. Now we will see the significance of the words. Abhisandhyadishu, that consists of two words, abhisandhi and adishu. Abhisandhi means desire or raga. And after raga, etc. So that means raga and dvesha, both of them also we should include. And you say, that is the Nyaya philosopher says, it is a criterion that you say it as a criterion for punya papa, which is criterion for sukha dukkha. That is according to the serial transaction. Now with respect to raga dvesha and with respect to raga dvesha also, that is vishesha sattami, with respect to evam. Evam means the same problem persists. So with respect to raga dvesha also, the same problem persists, to which atma it will go. So the problem is what? As per Nyaya Shastra, raga dvesha is generated by mind, sense organs, and it comes from guna and attributes, all those things. And it does not rest on objects, sense organs, or the mind, but it rests where? On atma. So if they are to rest on the mind, then there is no problem, because we also are in agreement with that. Since they don't rest on the mind and rest on the atma, we have to choose all atmas are then different. The same problem persists as shown in the previous sutra also. So the same thing, you have to assume that all the atmas are different. So that is a problem with this approach also. So let us go to the final sutra of this adhikaranam. Pradesha adhidhitye idhi chete na antarbhava. Pradeshat iti chet na antarbhavat. 53rd sutra, 269th running Brahma Sutra. So here an objection to sutra 52 is raised and refuted. And this sutra consists of two parts, that is an objection part and a reply part. And the objection portion is what? Pradeshat iti chet, that is the objection part. And the reply is na antarbhavat, that is the reply. Now here the Nayayika, he gives a solution to the problem, which we have already attributed. In addition, the solution given by them is negated by Vedantins also. So even though all atmas are all pervading, my atma has an enclosed portion in my body, and your atma has an enclosed portion within your body, and the enclosed portion of each atma will receive the raga and dvesha generated by the enclosure body. So pradeshat means the enclosed portion. And Vyasacharya gives his reply to the above argument. So the loophole here is what? Even though you say enclosed portion of my atma within my body is a fine statement, no problem. But the problem is what? The enclosed portion of your atma is also in my body. That is a problem. Therefore, my body encloses not one atma, but encloses all the atmas of all bodies. And therefore, body enclosing cannot be the criterion to determine raga dvesha choice. This is the answer. Now let us do the word analysis. Pradeshat. Pradeshat means because of the presence of the enclosed portion, This is what is said here, but we have to supply. There is no mixing up. So avyatikara, that was borrowed from the previous sutras. So because of the presence of the enclosed portion, there is no mixing up of karma phala, punya papa, or raga dvesha. They are all not there. Mixing up of all of them are not there. This is the solution given by the Nayayikas. Now Vedantin gives the answer. Iti ched. If this is the contention of you, or your solution to this, nah, it is not so. Why? Antar bhavat. Because all the atmas are enclosed in every body. All the atmas are enclosed in every body, and this is the running meaning of this sutra. Now let us see the significance of the words. Here, pradeshat, the enclosed portion or the body, because of the existence of the enclosed portion, we get the criterion to determine the location of ragadvesha. Because of the existence of the enclosed portion, we get the criterion to determine the location of ragadvesha. There is no problem. Iti chet na. If this is Nayayika's view, it is not acceptable to us. According to him, he says no problem, he says, but if this is what you are saying, it is not acceptable to us. Iti chet na. Why? Because antarbhavaha. Because all the atmas are enclosed within my body and your body also, creating the confusion. All atmas are enclosed in my body and your body, everybody's body, creating the confusion. So if it is by choice or accident, there is no vyavastha. Then when the mosquito, for example, bites anywhere else, I will also get a jerk. If a mosquito has to bite anywhere in the world, somebody, I will also get a jerk. My atma is within the body of another one whose body is bitten by the mosquito. Therefore, it is not acceptable. With this, the Nayayika theory is refuted. Now, Shankaracharya says, through these arguments themselves, the Sankhya theory also is refuted. Even though this entire thing is directed towards Nyaya philosopher, but Shankaracharya, in the corollary, he says the Sankhya theory also is refuted. What was the Jiva, Atma, etc. according to Nyaya philosophy? In Nyaya philosophy, Jiva Atma is Jada Dravyam, inert matter. Anekaha, it is pluralistic. And Jiva Atma is Vibhu, it is all pervading. And all the Jiva Atmas are all pervading. And the fourth one is Jiva Atma is Sagunaha. It is capable of taking the attributes. Sagunaha means taking all the attributes like raga, dvesha, punya, papa, sukha, dukkha, all of them. Therefore, jadaha, anekaha, vibhuhu, and sagunaha, they are all these things, they are attributes. And how the gunas are produced? It is done by atma sanyoga, association with atma. So according to Nyaya theory, atma can have sambandha with mind. Atma is not asangaha, according to them, but sasangaha, per Nyaya Sastra. So all of them, Vedantins, they refute. So atma is jadaha, atma is agunaha, atma can combine with the mind. All these things, Vedantin, he rejects. This is Nayayika Atma. All these belong to Nayayika Atma. Now let us see the Sankhya Atma. In Sankhya Yoga, how it is said. In Tarkashastra, this kind of study is called compare and contrast study. It is there in every study. In Tarkashastra, it's a big topic. So it is one method of study for thoroughness of understanding and for clarity of vision also. Because we will be each time, we'll be discussing about all other systems also, compare and then contrast to establish your own theory. Now we'll study the Sankhya philosophy. Here, Jivatma is Chaitanya Rupaha, unlike Tarkashastra. Tarkashastra is Nyayashastra. So unlike Tarkashastra, Jivatma is Chaitanya Rupaha in Sankhya Jivatma. So Tarkikas, they said it is Jadam, but Sankhya says it is Chitrupaha, which Vedanta accepts. Vedantin also says Atma is Chitrupaha. And the next thing is what? They say Jivatma is Anekaha. There are many atmas which Vedanta refutes. So Sankhya says Jivatma Chaitanya Rupaha, Vedantin accepts. But they say Jeevatma is anekaha. There are many atmas which Vedanta refutes. And if you take Jeevatma as Chidabhasa, it is anekaha. That's okay. Vedantin says fine. So Vyavaharika Drishtya anekaha. Paramarthika Drishtya ekaha. Always we should remember this in mind. This is what the other systems don't acknowledge. According to us, plurality exists in Vyavaharika plane. In Paramarthika plane alone, there is no plurality. That's all we say. And next is, Jivatma is Vibhu. That is all pervading. Nayayika also says, Jivatma is all pervading. Sankhya also says it is all pervading. We also say all pervading, Atma. From Paramarthika Drishti only. Jivatma has got 9 gunas according to Nyaya. I mentioned it at that time, sometime earlier. Whereas in Sankhya and Yoga philosophy, Jivatma is Nirgunaha. Jivatma has got 9 gunas according to Nyaya Sutras, Nyaya theory. And Sankhya and Yoga philosophy, Sankhya Yoga together, Nyaya Vaisheshika, Sankhya Yoga. I already told that a long time earlier. Jivatma is Nirgunaha. So Nirguna Chaitanyam is Jivatma as per Sankhya also. Then finally, they said, Atma joins with the mind, and mind joins with sense organs, and therefore Atma is capable of combination. Who says? Nayayikas. In Nyaya Shastra, that's what they say. Whereas in Sankhya Shastra, Atma is Asangaha. Atma is Asangaha. It cannot combine with anything, and it is Purushaha. It is not Prakriti or Pradhanam. If you remember the word Pradhanam, Prakriti is called Pradhanam in Sankhya Drishti. And Purusha and Prakriti. And Vyasacharya says, Sankhya philosopher also will have all the problems that Nayayika faced, because when Sukham and Dukkham are generated, behind the Sukha Dukkha, all the Atmas are going to be there. My Atma is behind your mind, your Atma is behind your mind, and since all Atmas are behind every individual, and when Sukha and Dukkha are distributed, there will be difficulty in choosing the Sukha and Dukkha. Behind Punya Papa, there is Atma. Tell me which Atma will receive Sukham and Dukkham, Raga Dvesha and all that. So this primary problem is similar to Nayayikas also, and in addition to that, Sankhya will have another new problem which Nayayika doesn't have. And they say Atma is Agunaha and Sasangaha. Therefore, Atma can receive Sukham and Dukkham in Nyaya philosophy. Only in choice there is a problem. But it has a difficulty of receiving the Sukha and Dukkha. It is possible because Atma is Agunaha and Sasangaha. It can associate. Under Sankhya philosophy, what happens? It is asked, how can an Asanga Atma receive the Sukham and Dukkham? Because Sankhya philosopher says, even though he doesn't do his akarta, but he is a bhokta. Purusha is a bhokta according to them. So receiving the Sukham, Dukkham. And Sankhya shamelessly says, that's what Shankaracharya puts. Atma is Asangaha and Atma is bhokta. Atma is not karta, but it is a bhokta, says Sankhya. So Atma is Sukha Dukkha Bhokta by receiving Sukham and Dukkham. Then we ask the question as to how can the Asanga Atma can become a Bhokta, an enjoyer. Without doing anything, he enjoys Sankhya Atma. So all the 4 systems of philosophy, Sankhya, Yoga, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, all of them are refuted here. Therefore, our theory alone is correct, is Vedantin's contention. And what is our theory? Vedantin's theory? Atma is ekaha, Atma is sarvagataha, and there is Vyavaharika Chidabhasa, and this alone becomes karta, bhokta, and from Paramarthika Drishti, I am nitya akarta, nitya abhokta. With this, the Amsadhikaranam is also concluded. That is, our contention is very clear. Atma is ekaha, sarvagataha. There is Vyavaharika Drishti, Chidabhasa. And this alone becomes Karta and Bhokta. And from Paramarthika Drishti, I am Nitya Karta, Nitya Abhokta. Now we have to refute. This is Amshadhikaranam is over. But still we have one problem still to deal with. We have to refute the Purvapakshi and Ekadeshi. because we told we will have all these three views, Purvapakshi, Ekadeshi, and Siddhanti. So these two we have to again refute. And we should note that because Nyaya Vaisheshika all we put, even though we have to refute this thing in some objective sense. And we should note what is Purvapakshi and Ekadeshi here. There are Veda Shruti and Abheda Shruti. Therefore, Shruti contradicts and Shruti is apramanam according to them. Because there are both Veda Shrutis. Difference exists between Jivatma and Paramatma. That is Abheda Shruti. Jivatma, Paramatma, Ikyam is there. Therefore, Shruti itself is, Veda itself is contradicting and therefore Shruti is apramanam according to them. So, Veda Shruti is what? Jivatma and Paramatma are different. And Abheda Shruti is what? Jivatma and Paramatma are identical. So both are there in Shruti. How do we reconcile that? They are mutually contradictory and therefore Veda is apramanam. Don't study Vedas. So by Amsha Shruti, Amshadhikarana which we saw, we reconcile it is neither Veda nor Abheda, but Jivatma is Amshaha. It is neither Veda nor Abheda, but it is Amshaha. Of course, at what level? Vyavaharika Drishti. At the Vyavaharika plane only. Amshaha is Chidabhasa, another name. Amshaha is Chidabhasa. Chidabhasa Rupa, Chit Pratibimba Rupa, Amshaha Jivatma. Jivatma is Chidabhasa Rupa, Chit Pratibimba Rupa, Amshaha is Jivatma, Paramatmanaha. So from the Vyavaharika Drishti, that is what we have to understand. And the Ekadeshi asks to remove this Abheda Shruti from the Vedas. He says, remove it completely. Who you want to have all this Abheda Shruti at all? It's only Veda Shruti only we should keep. He says that such Shruti statements are Arthavada statements. Who says Ekadeshi? Ekadeshi is pro-Vedic person and he thinks he is doing good. His intentions are good, but his approach is always wrong. That we have said many times. He says, such Shruti statements, all these Abheda Shruti statements, they all have to be discounted as Arthavada statements. And for this, he gives reasons also. He says, only Veda Shruti is in keeping with the Pratyaksha Pramana, which is the most powerful source of knowledge. Because for everything, the most powerful source of knowledge is Pratyaksha Pramana. But Abheda Shruti is Pratyaksha Viruddha. And perception is the best pramana. Abheda Shruti is against Pratyaksham. And perception is the best pramanam. And even Shastra is subservient to Pratyaksham. Pratyaksha Pramanam is there. Even Shastra is supposed to be subservient according to him. The way he interprets also. So even to study the Shastra, you need Pratyaksham. For example, when the ears give trouble, you cannot hear Vedanta. And Vedanta depends upon Pratyaksham. You need an indriyam, the hearing indriyam. Therefore, Pratyaksha should be accepted as Satyam. And therefore, Vedaha eva Satyam and Advaitam has to be rejected. According to him, Vedaha eva Satyam and Advaitam has to be rejected. So, because for the Ekadeshi, we can give several arguments, of course. If you say Pratyaksham is valid, therefore it is Satyam, then all the samsara and limitations and experiencing of samsara, they all will become satyam. Yeah, they are all pratyaksham. Suffering is pratyaksham, you are seeing it. Samsara dukkham, you are seeing every day. You are experiencing it also. So they are all become satyam. Anger, disease, everything, they all will become satyam. If pratyaksha pramana is satyam, then samsara will be taken as satyam and whatever is satyam is as eternal as Brahman also. That is the corollary. Whatever is satyam is as eternal as Brahman. Samsaraha nityaha satyatvata brahmavate. Samsaram is nityam because it is satyam like Brahman. So if samsara is nityaha, then what is the problem? Anirmoksha prasangaha. There is no moksha at all. If samsara is going to be nityam, where is the question of getting moksha? If moksha is not there, all sadhanas, they will all become redundant. No need for doing any sadhanas. Moksha shastram will become redundant. And Lord has created a redundant moksha shastram. Lord was unemployed, so created a redundant moksha shastra. So we have to take both the statements, and the reconciliation is what? Amshavada. That is why Amshadhikaranam is very important adhikaranam. So we had, that's the reconciling adhikaranam. And the second method is Mimamsa approach to this problem. Siddhanta is we said just now. And Mimamsa approach also is there to this problem. And when we want to be different from Visishtadvaitam, we will give the second answer. The answer is what? We have to reconcile Veda and Abheda Shruti if both the Shruti statements are teaching Veda and Abheda. If they are teaching Veda and Abheda, we have to reconcile. Advaitins say both do not have equal status at all to see a contradiction. See, if you want to contradict one from the other, both of them should enjoy equal credibility, equal status they should have. Then only you can say one should be negated or disqualified. Abheda Shruti has a higher status because it is meant to teach Abheda. And therefore, it is taken as Pramana Vakyam. Abheda Shruti has a higher status because it is meant to teach Abheda. And therefore, it is taken as Pramana Vakyam. It is a Vakyam to teach something to you, a new thing. Veda Shruti has got only an inferior status because Veda Shruti is not meant to reveal Veda. Because Veda is not any new thing. We have experienced it every time, every day. Therefore, it is Apramana Vakyam according to him. Veda Shruti has got only an inferior state because Veda Shruti is not meant to reveal Veda. It doesn't have to reveal something new called Veda. It is Apramana Vakyam. All Abheda Shruti have higher status, meant to reveal Abheda. To have Abheda, that is a new teaching. Veda is customary to us. Veda Shruti is of lower status. It is not meant to teach Veda. It is a technical question. And how do you know which part of Veda is Pramana Vakyam, meant to teach, and which are Apramana Vakyam, meant not to teach? Because Veda has both. Which are Pramana Vakyam meant to teach and which are Apramana Vakyam meant not to teach. So we have two types of Vakyas in Shastra. And there is prescribed method also to determine which is the Tatparya Vakyam and which is a non-Tatparya Vakyam. All are technical details. Which is a Tatparya Vakyam, which is non-Tatparya Vakyam. Actually, we discussed this in the fourth sutra, Tattu Samanvayat. We discussed when we are doing the Samanvayadhikaranam, we discussed this thing in detail. The explain is, I gave the same example there, a mathematics class. Because to find out the Tatparyam, to understand the Tatparyam. Suppose a teacher asks the question, one pencil costs 15 cents. What is the cost of 10 pencils? So you should not take the statement as to reveal the cost of the pencil here. It is impossible. How can 15 cents you can get one pencil? I can get a dozen pencil in 15 cents. That is not the question here. The price of the pencil is not Tatparya Purva Vakyam. Teacher is not giving market price of the pencil also. Therefore, that statement is Apramana Vakyam with respect to price. If it is Apramana Vakyam, why should he say that at all? The teacher should ask that question. It is to check whether the student knows multiplication. Here, price of the pencil is not Tatparya Vakyam. Only whether he knows multiplication, that is only implied. Similarly, in Vedas also, there are many Tatparya Vakyas and many non-Tatparya Vakyas. Veda Shruti is not meant to teach anything, as I mentioned, teach anything new. Veda does not want to teach Veda or Dvaitam at all. There are three main clues to reveal that also from Shruti itself. Because there is nothing new to teach there. Because this is our practical experience. World is plural. Everything we see as plural. The difference is already in the mind of the student. Because before even you start teaching Dvaitam, already it is, the difference is in the mind of the student. Because right from birth, the child knows, the child thinks I am the body all the time. But the body and the thing is, it treats the body also as separate. My body, your body, it differentiates, it identifies people. Right from childhood, this kind of, the plurality the child understands. So a difference is already in the mind for the students, even they before they come to Vedanta class. The students perceive difference even before learning Vedas itself. So what Veda teaches must be unknown to me by other pramanas. If I am going to consider Veda as a unique pramanam, Shruti as a unique, Shabda pramanam as a unique pramanam, then I should not be able to get that information through any other known pramanas. Veda need not teach Dvaitam, plurality. This is one. And next is the phalam. Wherever there is phalam mentioned, then people, they will be interested in the phalam. Because if you say, always people ask the question, what is that in for me? Before you do anything, what is that is in for me is the question. So only where abheda is mentioned, phalam follows. Because wherever there is phalam, people want to know the phalam. Only where abheda is mentioned, phalam follows. If you know aikyam, mukti is mentioned, so many things are said, so then there is phalam. I want to get moksha. I want to have jivatma, paramatma, aikyam. That is a very, very high goal. So when those things are revealed, then the phalam becomes interesting for one. Veda Shruti does not have any phalam at all. Therefore, tatparyam nasti. No tatparyam. And the third, another point is the glorification and criticism statement. So because we started with, there are so many problems we have to see for each one of them and how they perceive. So we have to understand that in a logical manner. So the next one is what? Is the glorification and the criticism statement. According to Mimamsa, wherever glorification, we are now going through Mimamsa analysis of this particular the reconciliation. According to Mimamsa, wherever glorification is there, underscores has to be focused. Whenever what it has to underscore, what is being glorified, that has to be focused. Criticism has to be taken as tatparya rahita vakyams. Criticism, glorification is taken. One famous Brihadaranyaka vakyam is there. It says, whoever sees Jivatma and Paramatma Bheda is as good as a Pashu. This is the Brihadaranyaka vakyam, we have seen this. Whoever sees Jivatma and Paramatma Bheda is as good as Pashu. And is not even worth calling as, because he is calling him Pashu means not to be called even as a human being. And that is stressed there. Whoever is Abheda, the person who is subscribed to Abheda, he is a liberated person. And there are thousands of vakyams, and therefore Veda Shrutis are apramanam and Abheda Shrutis are praman. So where there is glorification and criticisms are there, we have to see all those elements also what is being glorified in Shruti, all from Shruti pramanam only. They do not have equals, because of all these reasons, they do not have equal status. Veda Shruti and Abheda Shruti, both of them do not have equal status. So since they are not having equal status, they cannot be rivals. That is it. So rivalry is possible only between equals. Here one is pramanam, another is apramanam. Where is the question of any rivalry between them? There is no contradiction between Veda and Abheda Shruti, and therefore we need not have to reconcile them at all. There is no need to bring in this. I told also there is a Ghataka Shruti. For the Veda Abheda Shruti, we already mentioned Visheshadvaitam is Ghataka Shruti. Veda Shruti, I mentioned this thing in the previous class. Veda Shruti, Abheda Shruti, and Ghataka Shruti. And Vedantis, they say Abheda Shruti has no rival at all. How can Veda Shruti stand against Abheda Shruti then? Abheda Shruti alone, then they will say it wins. And Jiva is not part of Paramatma, but is one with Paramatma. According to Abheda Shruti, Jiva is not even part of Paramatma, but is one with Paramatma. And Tarkika, he says, Jivatma is part of Paramatma. We reconcile saying that Jivatma is one with Paramatma. From Paramarthika Drishti, Jivatma is Paramatma. From Vyavaharika Drishti, Jivatma is part of Paramatma. So that is all the only difference we try to make. From Paramarthika Drishti, Jivatma is one with Paramatma. And Vyavaharika Drishti, Jivatma is part of Paramatma. So the Sutra 48, it explained this point also, that you know we saw it already. So with this, the Amshadhikaranam is over. With this, the third pada is also over. Now let us go to the fourth pada, the last pada of this chapter. It's a small father. Come back, listen, Prasthupasudras. Now let us try to understand the tatparya of the fourth pada. So we'll give a general outline, or the I will call it general introduction for the fourth pada, second chapter. So the main title of the second chapter is what? First chapter is what? Samanvaya Adhyaya. Second one is Avirodha Adhyaya. And the purpose of this chapter is to establish the non-contradiction of the teaching given in the first chapter. First chapter itself is Samanvaya Adhyaya. And the second chapter says Samanvaya is not contradicted. Samanvaya Siddhi is the topic of second chapter. Samanvaya means, we already told, all the Upanishads, they reveal uniformly and consistently non-dual Brahman only. Samanvaya Adhikaranam, Vyasacharya wrote, essentially to communicate that all Upanishads, they reveal uniformly and consistently non-dual Brahman only. The first pada is established as Samanvaya, that is not contradicted by Shruti and Yukti. Samanvaya, by that he tried to establish, it is not contradicted by Shruti and Yukti Pramanas. Advaitam is not contradicted by logic. Yukti is established in the first chapter. Advaitam is beyond logic, and logic does not have any equal, any qualification to contradict it also, because this aporushaya vishaya. Eyes do not have the capability to confirm or contradict the sound revealed by the ears. It's a totally different domain of knowledge, pramana. Similarly, logic cannot contradict or confirm Advaitam. And the second chapter deals with the refutation of the views of all other darshanas. We went through in detail, great detail, all the darshanas. It is called Paramata Khandana. And the third pada, Shruti Virodha Parihara, was done. And it dealt with the internal contradictions within the Vedas itself, Shruti Virodha, internal contradictions, Shruti Virodha Parihara, that was dealt with. And in the third pada, Shruti means Shruti Vakya, Veda Vakya. And the reconciliation of Shruti statements regarding the creation of five elements, Jiva, Bhokta, all those things. And the last three sutras of the third pada happens to be refutation of Sankhya philosophy and Nyaya philosophy, as we saw. Actually, these sutras I mentioned it at that time itself. They can join the second pada itself, then coming to the third pada. And the difference between Paramada Khandanam occurring in the second pada and Sankhya Mada Khandanam in the last three sutras of the third pada, they both can be together, could have been coupled. The first three adhikaranams, they refuted creation theory, whereas the last three sutras of the third pada dealt with Jivatma Swarupam, because the subject was different. Even though the people who are refuted are same, the Sankhyas and the Nayayikas, but because the subject was different, it was placed in the third pada, which I mentioned it in the second pada itself. And Sankhya's theory, Nyaya theory, and Vedanta's theory of Jiva, they are all different. With this, the third pada is over now. Now we will deal with the fourth pada, and it deals with Shruti Vakya Parihara. It is discussed from another angle. In the third pada, Vyasacharya dealt with what? Bhuta Srishti and Bhoktra Srishti, Jiva Srishti. In the fourth pada, Bhautika Srishti Virodha Parihara is dealt with. Bhautika Srishti refers to what? Various organs of the body. Various organs of the body, Srishti are the various organs of the body. That is being discussed here. Even regarding the number of organs, even that is discussed here in this place. All seeming contradictions regarding organs and their numbers, they are all discussed. And the fourth pada has got 9 adhikaranams and 23 sutras. And since it deals with Shruti Virodha Parihara, and here also we will have 3 stages of discussions, Purvapakshi Matam, Ekadeshi Matam, and Siddhanti Matam. So we will see from all perspectives. Now let us go to the first adhikaranam of the fourth pada. Prana utpatti adhikaranam. The first sutra is Tatha Pranaha. First sutra, fourth pada, 270th running Brahma Sutra. తథా ప్రాణాః. ది క్రియేషన్ ఆఫ్ ది ప్రాణాస్ ఆర్ ది సెన్సెస్ ఈస్ నౌ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ హియర్ ఇన్ దిస్ పర్టికులర్ ప్లేస్ సూత్ర. నౌ లెట్ అస్ ఫస్ట్ గో త్రూ ఏ బ్రీఫ్ ఇంట్రొడక్షన్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ అధికరణం ఇట్స్ ఆఫ్. ఇట్స్ అ స్మాల్ అధికరణం విత్ ఓన్లీ 4 సూత్రాస్, 1, 2, 3, and 4, 4 సూత్రాస్. ప్రాణ ఉత్పత్తి అధికరణం. అండ్ బికాస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ది ఫస్ట్ వన్ స్టార్ట్స్ విత్ ప్రాణాహ, సో ఇట్ ఈస్ కాల్ బై దట్ నేమ్. అధికరణం ఇస్ నేమ్డ్ లైక్ దాట్. దిస్ డీల్స్ విత్ ద సృష్టి ఆఫ్ ప్రాణ అండ్ ఇట్ రెఫర్స్ టు ది సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ ఆల్సో. బై ద వర్డ్ ప్రాణ ఇట్ రెఫర్స్ టు సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ ఆల్సో. సో ఇట్ అకర్స్ ది ప్రాణ వర్డ్ ప్రాణ అకరింగ్ ఇన్ ద సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్. వి ఆల్రెడీ ఆర్ ఫెమిలియర్ విత్ దాట్ ఫ్రమ్ ముండకోపనిషత్. సప్త ప్రాణాః ప్రభవంతి తస్మాత్ సప్తార్చిష సమిద సప్త హోమాః. తైత్రీ ఆల్సో సేమ్ వాక్యం ఇస్ దే, స్లైట్ డిఫరెన్స్. సప్త ఇమే లోకాయేషు చరంతి ప్రాణాగుహాశయా నిహిత సప్త సప్త. ఇన్ ద సెకండ్ ముండక, ఫస్ట్ సెక్షన్, 8th mantra. సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ ఆర్ కాల్డ్ ప్రాణాస్ బికాస్ దే ఆర్ ఏబుల్ టు ఎగ్జిస్ట్ అండ్ ఫంక్షన్ ఓన్లీ బై ది గ్రేస్ ఆఫ్ ప్రాణ. సో ది సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ ఇట్సెల్ఫ్ దే గాట్ ద నేమ్ ప్రాణాస్. అండ్ ఆల్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ డిపెండ్ ఆన్ ది ప్రాణ, దాట్ ఈస్ ఎస్టాబ్లిష్ ఇన్ చాందోగ్య ఉపనిషత్ ఆల్సో. ఐ హోప్ యూ రిమెంబర్ దట్ స్టోరీ, ఆల్ దోస్ అటెండెడ్ చాందోగ్య లెక్చర్. దట్స్ అ వెరీ ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్ స్టోరీ. ఇట్ సీమ్స్ దర్ వాస్ అ క్వారల్ అమంగ్ ఆల్ ది సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ రిగార్డింగ్ హూ ఈస్ సుప్రీం అమంగ్ దెమ్ ఆల్సో. దే ఫాట్ అండ్ దే కండక్టెడ్ అన్ ఎక్స్పెరిమెంట్ టు ఫైండ్ అవుట్ హూ ఈస్ సుప్రీం అమంగ్ దెమ్. సో ఈచ్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్ వాట్ డిడ్ దే డిసైడ్? దే డిసైడెడ్ టు క్విట్ ఫార్ వన్ ఇయర్, క్విట్ ద బాడీ ఫార్ వన్ ఇయర్. ఐ విల్ గెట్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ద బాడీ, బట్ వన్ బై వన్ ఐ సీయర్స్ ఎవరీ వన్ ఆఫ్ దమ్ స్టార్టెడ్ టు లీవ్ ద బాడీ ఫార్ వన్ ఇయర్. అండ్ ఆఫ్టర్ వన్ ఇయర్ దే కేమ్ బ్యాక్ అండ్ దే ఫౌండ్ ఇట్ డిడ్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ ఎనీ సిగ్నిఫికెంట్ ఇంపాక్ట్ అట్ ఆల్ ఆన్ ది జీవ. స్టిల్ లైఫ్ వాస్ కంటిన్యూయింగ్ వితౌట్ ఎనీ ఇష్యూ. Maybe slight difference was there. They could find alternatives to substitute all those things and life was continuing. Everybody was still alive and kicking and even healthy. And then it was established that the moment prana decided to leave the body, all the sense organs, they lost control and they requested prana not to leave at all. They did sashtanga namaskaram to prana and requested, please don't leave. They accepted the prana to be the supreme. And sang praises of prana also, prana stuti. So when the word prana refers to sense organs, it is called gauna prana. So that is the story part. So when the prana refers to sense organs, it is called gauna prana. They are figuratively called prana because all those indriyas are blessed by prana. All sense organs belong to prana family. All are prana family only. So when it talks of main prana, it is called mukhya prana. Mukhya prana is what? Prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana, all those pancha prana deha, they are called mukhya pranas. Therefore, in this adhikaranam, prana means gauna pranaha indriyani, all the indriyas. Therefore, this is indriya utpatti adhikarana, the origin of indriyas. Of course, we have Purvapakshi Matam, who presents a seemingly contradictory statement also in this regard, in Prana Utpatti, Indriya Utpatti. And he quotes from Mundaka Upanishad. He says, Etasma jayate pranaha manasarvendriyani cha khamva yujyotirapa prithivi vishvasya dharini. Second Mundaka, first chapter, first section, 3rd mantra. ఎతస్మాత్ జాయతే ప్రాణః మనః సర్వేంద్రియాణి చ. మనః సర్వ ఇంద్రియాణి, దట్ ఆల్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్. మనః ఇస్ అంతరింద్రియం, ఇన్నర్ ఎక్విప్మెంట్, అండ్ బహిరింద్రియం ఆల్ అదర్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్. ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ ఆర్ బార్న్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మన్, దట్స్ వాట్ దిస్ సేస్. దెర్ఫోర్ బ్రహ్మన్ ఇస్ సెట్ ఇన్ ద ఫస్ట్ 2 mantras, అండ్ ద 3rd mantra ఇట్ సేస్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ బ్రహ్మన్ అలోన్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇస్ బార్న్ ఇన్క్లూడింగ్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్. Thus, Indriya Utpatti is said to be Mundaka Upanishad Sruti. Indriya Utpatti is said in the Mundaka Upanishad Sruti Vakyam, as we saw in this particular line. Then there is another Sruti Vakyam according to Shatapatha Brahmana. There it is said, the sense organ existed before creation. Another Sruti, Shatapatha Brahmana says, సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ ఎగ్జిస్టెడ్ బిఫోర్ క్రియేషన్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ అగ్రే ఆసీత్. దట్ మీన్స్ ఇన్ ప్రళయకాలం ది సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ ఎగ్జిస్టెడ్. ఇట్ సేస్ దర్ వాస్ అసత్ బిఫోర్ క్రియేషన్. అసత్ అసద్వా ఇదమగ్ర ఆసీత్, అసద్వా ఇదమగ్ర ఆసీత్ తదాహు కిం తద్ అసద్ అసి అస్ ఇతి. ఇఫ్ సంబడి ఆస్క్ ద క్వశ్చన్ వాట్ ఇస్ సత్ అండ్ అసత్, ఋషయో వావతేగ్రే అసదాసీత్ తదాహు కేతే ఋషయ ఇతి ప్రాణావావ ఋషయ ఇతి. దట్ ఈస్ ద మంత్ర ఫ్రమ్ శతపథ బ్రాహ్మణ. ఇట్ ఇస్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ఎ పెక్యూలియర్ డైలాగ్ బిట్వీన్ ది స్టూడెంట్ అండ్ ద టీచర్. ద శృతి సేస్ దట్ దర్ వాస్ అసత్ బిఫోర్ క్రియేషన్. అసత్ మీన్స్ నాన్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్. అసద్వా ఇదమగ్ర ఆసీత్. సో అసత్ ఓన్లీ వాస్ దేర్ ఇన్ ద బిగినింగ్ బిఫోర్ క్రియేషన్. Then the student asks the question, what do you mean by asat? And the guru says, asat means rishayaha, rishis. All the Gautama, Bharadvaja, rishis, they are the asat means rishayaha. Veda has all peculiar language. That is why Westerners, they said what? It's blabbering of some unemployed people is Vedas. That's what they said, because all peculiar language. So first there was asat. Asat means non-existence. Non-existence refers to rishis. Then the student asks, what are rishis? And the guru says, rishis are pranas. Pranaha adrishaya. So ima bevam, gaudamam, bharadvajav. So all those rishis, they are pranas. So in Brihadaranyaka also we saw prana. Pranaha means referring to sense organs. They are called rishis in Brihadaranyaka. We saw that shruti also when we did Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So the essence of the vakyam is what? Gauna pranaha, indriyas were there before creation. So according to this shruti, indriyas, gauna pranaha, they were all there before creation. So there is a contradiction. One says indriya utpatti and the another one says indriya anutpatti. So utpatti anutpatti vakyayoho virodaha tasmat vedaha apramanam is purvapakshi's contention. Because he is always there to refute Vedas. So he says, because there is contradiction between the Utpatti and Anutpatti of Indriyas, both given in the Shruti Vakyas, there is inconsistency. Therefore, one cannot have validity for Vedas. So Veda is a pramana. For which Ekadeshi has to answer, that we will see in the next class. యో వేదాదౌ స్వర ప్రోక్తో వేదాంతే చ ప్రతిష్ఠితః తస్య ప్రకృతిలీనస్య పరసమహేశ్వరః పూర్ణమదః పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. కృష్ణార్పణమస్తు.